Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to It's Rainmaking Time. This is Kim Greenhouse. It gives me great pleasure to invite Alex von Easteren to discuss the importance of search engine privacy and data storage and their new venture start page in the United States. It's also known as IXQuick in Europe and in other developing nations. Alex handles business development as well as everything related to the European Union media relations. This company was started by Robert Beans, who's their CEO. There's 500 million law-abiding EU citizens that are concerned about their privacy and feel they deserve to have it. We're at a crossroads in terms of what is private and what is stored data on the internet. There are new laws coming in. There's something called Written Declaration 29, which Alex is going to talk to us about. This should be of vital importance to you if you're communicating at all by the internet. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Alex von Easteren to It's Rainmaking Time. Welcome.
Thank you, Kim.
Why did StartPage or IXQuick begin its venture in Europe?
We actually started in 1998, so we are quite a long time around. And actually, at the end of 2005, we did an internal study about the liability within our company. And one of the things pulled our attention was the enormous amount of data we stored, because like every other technical company or software company, whatever, technical people do keep all data they have. So what we also did in the past was keeping log files of all the activities in our systems. And those log files contained a lot of privacy information, like IP address, search terms, etc. So we saw the amount of data, and we asked our technical people, what's the reason we keep that? And because there is a liability, of course, because imagine that somebody hacks into our systems or whatever, what would you do? So that was the reason we looked into it. And the answer of the technical people was, well, there's no special goal for doing that. It's just there, so we keep it. And we didn't do anything with it. It was just there. So the next question was, can we do without it? And the answer of the technical people was, well, if you really want, we can. But why? And so finally we decided to make sure we deleted all that information. So from June 2006 onwards, we don't store any IP address of our users. So that means that it is a privacy inside out. Because the IP address, of course, is the main important identification, you can say. And of course, we also, because there is a lot around that, we also said we need to get rid of the unique ID in the cookie, for example. So although it seems sometimes easy to offer privacy, when you want to do it right, it's a lot of work. And there are a lot of aspects you have to look into. So we did, and from June 2006 onwards, we offered that privacy. And since then, also the technical people were happy about deleting the data. So for us, at least, there was no reason to store the data. So that's how it began, actually, with the privacy we offer.
I would say that a lot of people that use the internet don't think of their privacy when they're going on Google or Yahoo or Bing and putting in search items. I don't think that most people know that everything they put in traditional search engines is stored under their IP address.
Yeah, that's true, I think. You're right in there. And that's our challenge, I think, as a community. To at least make people aware. When it's a decision, you know, people don't care, that's fine. When they don't know, there's something to do. And what we believe is privacy is a right of a human being. So that's right. A lot of people don't realize what they type in their computer screen in general, and search engines in particular. Because why are search engines so important for privacy? Is that searching means actually sharing your most personal thoughts with your computer. Because if you go back into history and think what you have typed in, say for 2 years' time, over 2 years' time, what you typed in a search engine like Yahoo or Google or whatever, then and you realize the amount of information and the type of information, that's quite actually sharing your thoughts with your computer. And if you try to think about what that list means, because that list is a profile, is a user profile of the person who searched. And that information can be used for target advertising, can be used for all kinds of other things, can also be used because the government simply has access to it. If the government says we need to have that information of person XYZ, then it will be handed over.
Alex, is that really true? Like if the U.S. government goes to Google and says, look, I want Alex Van Esteren's data mining for the last 18 months. Now, I heard that Google holds data for a minimum of 18 months from the time you click something in.
The government is, and of course there are regulations for that, but in principle, governments, and that's not only in the United States, but that's in a lot of countries, can ask for information about a particular user. And that's just law. And of course, we are also subject to that law, because when a government, you know, example here in the Netherlands, asks us, can you give me the information about person XYZ, then we can't simply say, no, we won't cooperate. We have to. But when the government asks us, can I have the information of person XYZ, the answer is, I would love to give you the information, but we don't have it, because we don't store any private information. So that's how it works. And we have received those phone calls in the past, or we get those questions in the past.
I think that's great that you don't store the information. Of course, that always leads to the other question, which is how does the public verify the transparency of what you're saying? Not you, but you, the company, is saying that you're a really unique company that's not acting functionally like the other search engines. How do we, the public around the world, verify that that's so?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question, because after 2006, when we started with this, we got that question more often. And we came across a European Commission initiative, which was put in place by those days, and it was called the European Privacy Seal. And they set up a bunch of regulations and all kinds of procedures and actually an audit process. And of course, the privacy is the important thing inside out if you look into that that particular audit. So we actually thought that would be an answer for our users when we would receive that that European seal. So we started somewhere in, I think it was in November 2007, with the audit, and that includes a technical audit, so all the bits and bytes, and an expert needs to look into the source code, etc., etc. It also is the another important thing is the legal aspects. So a lawyer looked into if we met all the legal restrictions, and of course the procedures in the company within the company about how we treat the access to systems and all those kind of things was audited, and that resulted in we received the European Privacy Seal in, I think it was around June 2008. So it took us 7 months to go through the audit, and even during that audit, some aspects came up, and we thought, well, that's a good idea to build in because we can increase the privacy we offer. So during the process, we also made the product better regarding the privacy. And so that resulted in receiving the first European privacy seal in 2008. And that answers your question, actually, because this is a very, very serious done by an independent privacy watchdog in Germany, because the European Commission put that German privacy watchdog in place to develop that European privacy seal. And more companies are being awarded with that privacy seal. They go through the same process as I just described. And, well, this is to my knowledge, the best and one of the only privacy seals who are really independent and third-party, and in this case, privacy watchdog operated.
You know what this reminds me of, Alex? It reminds me of PGP of search engines. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It reminds me of the PGP, pretty good privacy, which allows a person to send anonymous, undetectable communication that can't be tampered with. And it reminds me of being able to secure your search items so that they can't be collected and used later as part of a data profiling on you. That's very important. Don't you also think, Alex, that most of us relate to Google and Bing and Yahoo as almost like a form of neuromarketing in the sense that Google's becoming our everything? They're now part of a browser and their email box for us, and soon they're going to the cloud. And, you know, it's worrisome because we view search engines like Google and Bing, a lot of us, as part of our lives already, very much the way we do with cell phones. We have that relationship with search engines, and the search engines do not have to answer to us as people about our privacy. And a lot of people think, well, if you have something to hide, then you should concern yourself with your privacy. If you don't, you have nothing to worry about. And that's a consistent paradigm across time with people that are concerned with privacy. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you're right in that a lot of people think I follow the rules and I don't do anything evil or whatever, so I don't have a problem. But that's the world upside down. Because, you know what, here in the Netherlands, you have to show your passport if the police ask for it. So you have to show who you are all times. And by the time that was introduced, some people, they had the same approach as you just gave. But I said by those days, you know, everybody who is against that, you should put in prison immediately. Because they must have something to hide because they, you know. And actually, that's not how it works, of course, because imagine that you follow all the rules and you're a good person, and somewhere a governmental organization finds something because of face recognition, you have been recognized somewhere in this particular street, that combined with your search history, that combined with a lot of other information makes you a suspect. Obviously, you are not, but you know there could be circumstances that you have to prove that you're innocent. That's the way upside down, in our opinion.
It's a constant showing that you're basically okay. And if you have any problem with the intrusion of government and government abilities and tools to track you and your information, then you're potentially suspect. You're correct that that's upside down. What's happening in the European Union with Written Declaration 29, Alex?
Well, the European Parliament consists of 750 people. And what happened that one of the every member can put subjects in and finally to discuss with the ultimate goal to make law, because that's what they're doing. And the Written Declaration 29 was there was, of course, people have the European Parliament members needed to vote also about that. And the Written Declaration 29 suggested that search engines should keep their data to up to 2 years. The reason of that Written Declaration 29 was to track down pedophiles and finally to get them in prison. So, yeah, that is also, in our opinion, the way upside down, because you can't, you know, all the good people, you know, are also obliged, you know, to give all their data to the search engine, and it's kept in the log files and in the databases. So imagine that becomes law. Then, yeah, that's a huge problem, because then you can't have any privacy when using search engines. We are very, very scared about what's happening there, because that will change our lives regarding privacy, in our opinion.
Will it put you out of business?
Well, beside the fact that it puts us out of business, there are other items we can offer privacy with, but the main important thing, in our opinion, and that's also a human right, in our opinion, is that we don't store the IP address of the users. And imagine that written declaration 29 becomes law here in Europe, then we have to keep that IP address. It's not law yet, definitely not. It's a first suggestion. And there will be a lot of discussion following about this. And that's the strange thing, that it's in contradiction of another working party of the European Commission is doing, and that's the Article 29 working group. And they are focusing on pushing search engines to offer privacy to their users. And the less time IP addresses are kept in the log files, the better. So it seems that the left hand of the European Parliament and the European Commission is not knowing what the right hand is doing.
Can you help them?
Well, definitely, because what we believe is that there is a lack of knowledge. I think a lot of those Parliament members saw the text of the declaration and saw, well, and thought, you know, who can be against tracking down pedophiles? And that's true, of course, but they didn't realize what it meant for privacy for the majority of the people. So there was also read. You could also read in publications and all kinds of sites that some parliament members try to change their opinion a little bit. But yeah, in the end, you know, it is they have for that written declaration 29, there isn't a majority, so it's brought to the next phase now. And what we believe is and hope, of course, is that a lot of people make clear that they not agree with that. But again, it's no law yet. It's just the next phase in the discussion.
But you have to watch it very carefully. You know, so many governments have used and packaged initiatives under the guise of security to push something through. And so whether this is written in the context of, oh, we're going to stop pedophiles, and you overhaul an entire system, which means that you're tracking everybody under the guise of we're looking for pedophiles, this is a packaged intrusion, really. And you have to watch it carefully, every detail, every development from here until anything that is potentiating anonymity and privacy is secured. And then you have to still mindfully watch every detail.
The thing you mentioned earlier, the awareness of people, that's so important, you know, and especially with the written declaration 29, it's so important that people understand what's happening and are being aware that our privacy is at risk when a search engine stores the data for 2 years. To answer your earlier question, there's a lack of awareness, and we try, and you can see that if you look on our site also, we have a button which explains on our homepage, which explains all about privacy, what it means, the risks of privacy, etc. And so we believe in that it's very important to make people aware about the privacy aspects and the risks of having no privacy.
It's interesting when you think of companies like Echelon and other types of military industrial complex or national security agency apparatuses that are tracking us from satellite. AT&T putting one of NSA's servers in one of their areas so that every single call that goes through an NSA computer system. Everything really is being tracked at the phone call and email level, everything. The question you're talking about has to do with storage and the storage of search items. And I think it may be the last bastion of electronic security that's left. And therefore, the fight's going to be, I think, the hardest. My question to you is, what do you say to people, or what does StartPage say to people, NixQuick in Europe, say when they say, look, we use Google and Yahoo and Bing because they're really popular and there's more data on there to check things with. There's much more stored there, so we have more available information in which to search. Is that true?
It's different, of course. You know, the big ones like Google and Yahoo, they are so powerful and they have so much money for research and development, et cetera, et cetera. So, but we have users who send feedback to us and say, well, I find more than I used to find with or more relevant information for my particular search term than when I search in Google. But it also can happen the other way around. So because our search mechanism or our search algorithms are different, I won't say it's less, because we are we have a lot of users worldwide who use our search results, and very often we get we hear from our users that, you know, it's different, it's better. So it can go both ways.
So let's take a real live situation. Let's go in. We start with StartPage. We go into YouTube and we're looking around. Is YouTube tracking us? Can we be tracked?
Oh, yes, definitely. Because don't forget that YouTube is owned by Google.
Right. But my question is, we go in through StartPage. We pull up YouTube. We go into YouTube and we start looking around. Does YouTube think we're coming from StartPage?
Well, it depends. If you perform a search term, you get the result page of StartPage. And when you click on the result, then you go directly to the third-party site. So in this case, YouTube. That means that you have a direct connection with YouTube, and that particular site can detect your IP address, because we are not in between. But we have launched around half a year ago a proxy option. And that means that if you search for a particular search term, you get the result page, and under every result, you find the term proxy, the word proxy.
Right.
And if you click on that, then you go to the particular site via our server. So the third-party site never can track down your IP address. So that is a way to serve completely anonymously, because also when you go to subsequent links on that in that particular site, you stay protected by NixQuick and StartPage. And you can identify the fact you are protected because of the frame around the page you visit, and that's the StartPage frame. And so that is a way to keep your privacy for 100%, because you're really protected by the NixQuick proxy. The only thing is that because of security reasons, we have to strip off JavaScript and forms. So you can't go to your online banking system, for example, and fill out your details, because forms are not supported. And that the reason of that is that we can't support that, because otherwise we would be a privacy risk. Our proxy service will be a privacy risk and open for hackers and those kind of people. But on the other hand, if you go to an online banking system, for example, you should trust your bank, because otherwise, what's the reason you put your personal data in? So there's no real reason to go to your online banking system via our proxy. The way how a lot of people use the proxy is, imagine you do a search term, you get a bunch of results, and you click on a particular result, you click on proxy, And then you can view that site, and depending on the amount of JavaScript that is used, it looks complete or a little bit less complete. But at least you can judge if you can trust that site, and you know what kind of site it is, etc., etc. So before you say unproxy, you get an impression of the particular site and if you can trust that site. So that's a way how a lot of people use that. But the proxy is definitely a huge way forward in getting privacy when searching, because with the normal links to the results, you always go directly to a site, so you're not under the protection of us then.
What are Startpages and XQuick's biggest concerns right now? What is the hurdle you have to get over right now to expand your operations and allow privacy search to become more mainstream?
The main thing I believe is the awareness of the people. Because when I talk to somebody on a birthday party of somebody or a party in general, and explain what I'm doing and the reason why we offer privacy, within 2 minutes, everybody says, "Oh, Alex, I hear what you say. Actually, I didn't know that all kinds of online things are stored and personal things are stored. But I would like to have the privacy because I didn't know that, and I don't want my private data stored all over the place." And that's only one person. But, you know, everybody who you explain about it says, "Yes, well, I agree. I don't want that." So that is our major hurdle. How can we make people aware of the privacy risks of having no online privacy? And, we work on all kinds of new projects, and we work on new functionality, of course, because we are really building some nice new privacy features, because that's an ongoing thing. But combined, you know, the functionality combined with the awareness is, I think, the major hurdle to come over. The media helps us with that, because every privacy breach or all things what happen regarding privacy, and that's much more than in the past, is in the media and helps us also, you know, to make people aware.
It would seem to me very relevant that you were in Wired and all the major technology magazines. There should be articles done every week. There should be coverage on every radio station imaginable, on podcasts. This is really important. I don't know how much push you're getting in the media, but I would tell you for sure that this company and what's being provided and what's also being fought for is critically relevant to the final stage of having no privacy in anything. And it's the last bastion of privacy we have. The ability to think your thoughts, go on and search the things that are relevant to you as an individual, and that should not be tracked, period.
True. And what we say is the only real privacy, or you only can offer real privacy by not storing anything. You should not store any personal data, full stop. That's the only privacy you can get. Once it's stored for whatever period, you never can guarantee for 100% privacy, because nobody knows what happens with the data. So therefore, we say the only perfect privacy you can offer is not storing an IP address to begin with at all. And that's exactly what we do. Your IP address is the IP address of your computer. So every search you perform is originally coming from an IP address, i.e. the address of your computer.
It makes me wonder if people can even continue to buy their computers with their own names, if that's what's going on. I mean, this really needs to stop. And if it can't stop, what you're doing needs to be expanded massively.
Yeah, well, that's what we are working on day and night.
Yes, no doubt. Where are you located in the Netherlands?
We are located in the middle of the Netherlands. The Netherlands is not so big. It's only, from east to west, it's around 140 kilometers. And we are somewhere in the middle.
Do you travel much?
Well, within the Netherlands, not so much. We travel sometimes to our New York office, because we also have an office in New York. And we travel quite a few times to Germany, because Germany is also a very expanding market for us because of the history, of course, because of the Stasi, and well, that's quite a European thing, but the history proved it's very important to have privacy, because it can cost your life.
I would imagine WikiLeaks would be interested in StartPage. Or Isquick.
Yeah. Right.
They're doing some interesting work, controversial, but very important as well. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us about your challenges?
Well, sometimes we get the question of people, you know, how can we help you? Because we enjoy what you're doing, and we believe it's important. And, well, the way to help us is to tell your friends and your family members, etc., about us. And visit our site and have a look around and see what the privacy risks can mean. Yeah, and just become aware. And if you decide, you know, I don't care, well, then it's a conscious decision. But make sure you take a conscious. And what we believe is that and what we hope is that all people will take a conscious decision: do we want this or not? And explain your friends about us, and visit our site.
Alex, I think also people learning how to use it properly, so that they can use the search engine and the proxy properly, I think that's also key to people expanding the use of it. And also people putting a start page button on their websites could help a lot. We'd like to be able to do it, and we'll sort out how to do that. I notice you have code there so that people can have a start page search box on their website.
Yeah, that would be great. It would be great. It's you can generate the Java code, or the HTML code. Of course, you need the knowledge and skills of building a website, but you can generate the code and copy and paste that into your site, and then there is a search box of start page in your site. And it also helps, of course.
Have you contacted the Electronic Privacy Foundation?
Oh, yes, definitely. And we are in contact with them. And what we see is that more and more privacy organizations and privacy watchdogs are following what we do. And also mention us sometimes, if appropriate. So that's starting to begin. And, we are talking about online privacy, and it's the online privacy, you know, we are emailing just for around 14 years, 14 years. It's not so long. So what you saw happening is that a lot of people started using it, and it ended up with no privacy, because all the information, what is there, was stored in databases and in log files. So what you see now is that people get aware of the fact that that is the case. And we need to get regulations in, and I think it's a normal market, or you know, online in, technology in general. You know, it starts with everybody does what he does or she does, and in the end, you need regulations. And privacy is one of the major things what needs to be regulated. So what we also hope is that the European Commission, for example, make sure, you know, that there is law, or has become law in place, that people's privacy is protected. Unfortunately, with the Written Declaration 29, we see the opposite happening, but that needs a little bit more work. But, you know, it is important that it's a law. It's a human right to get privacy, and that's what the governments in general, everywhere on Earth, needs to realize. It's a right. It's not normal that you can just get all the information of people you just want to track. So, again, you know, you can help us by recommending startpage.com. I think that's a first start.
How is StartPage able to prosper financially in this type of a paradigm and a new structure? Is there a way to monetize what you're doing?
Yes, well, of course, we also need to earn some money to develop the system further, and to create more privacy features. And we show a couple of sponsored results on our result page.
Yes.
Really indicated by a background or their background color. And that's where our income comes from. And that's it. We don't have other types of income. That's it. So, you know, probably we could make more money when we would sell the information we could retrieve from our users. We don't do that, of course, but, you know, imagine that we would decide, well, we didn't decide in 2006 for privacy, then we possibly could earn more money, but that's not our business model. Our business model is offering privacy, and yeah, that makes it sometimes harder for our development also, because it takes efforts to accomplish that. And also new functionality. It's always, again, you know, what does it mean for privacy? That's a very, very important thing. It needs to be privacy compliant, so to speak.
Somebody can buy sponsorship results. Talk about that. What is your monetary model right now?
Our model is that we show sponsored results, which we buy from third parties, from a third party. And we show those sponsored results on top of our result page. So if you search for a particular search term, you get relevant sponsored results in our result page.
Got it. Okay, now that's clear.
But we don't have pop-ups and all kinds of other. We really try to keep our pages as clean as possible. Not too much clutter. Just keep it, you know, like people like to use it.
That's great. Well, listen, I really appreciate you being on the show, Alex. I hope that you will come back. I also hope Robert Beans will join us and the other founders of StartPage at a later date, maybe this year. We really, really appreciate you letting us know more detail about it. And we thank you also for standing up to Written Declaration 29 and standing for the privacy of 500 million law-abiding EU citizens. I think it's great.
Right. Good. Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be on the show.
Pleasure to talk to you.
I'm sure that my colleagues also would like to be on your show once it's time for doing that. So let's keep in contact. And yes, I'll keep on informing you about our new privacy features also.
Thank you so much, Alex.